This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. We're continuing our series on pure gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So again, we were just talking about the importance of being clear cut. You know, the Bible says, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will gather themselves in the day of battle? You know, I think that's a very important Bible verse for us to understand. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? And so there's a time and a place for us as ministers to marshal the troops, to gather the people of God together, and at times to warn the body of Christ of what's coming on the earth, and even what is starting to take hold within the churches. And in many instances, error takes hold where ministers refuse to speak up and stand up on key biblical issues. And if we don't draw a line, it's not surprising that there are those who are quite willing to walk over them. And so what I mean is that at times, men and women of God can be so vague on some key biblical issues. And I've heard some leaders talk about how we allow trivial things to divide us. And on one level, I agree. There's certainly primary and secondary truth. Primary truth is anything that affects our salvation, the deity and humanity of Christ, the virgin birth, salvation through the blood. And there can be no compromise whatsoever in those issues. It means, therefore, that we can work with Baptist, Presbyterian, Charismatic, Pentecostal, etc., for the common cause of the kingdom, without getting into fights over other issues that, while important, are not an issue, are not a reason to divide. Because unity is vital, but it's not unity at any cost. Sometimes vital issues are treated as trivial and unimportant. The sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of sexuality and gender, the rights of parents to not have their children confused. I do not understand the silence of ministers on these issues. They're not trivial and should not be treated as such by our silence. Again, Ecclesiastes 3:7, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And, you know, I've had many say I don't feel called to speak in these things, but the Bible does. And if we're a Bible-based church, we will too. A Bible-based, not a follower-based church. Our primary aim isn't to keep people, but convert people. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that fact. And there's no gray area with this. Silence is defiance. Cowardice is complicity. As I believe that we have to both defy God and deny His word to maintain a dignified silence on many of these issues. The question always is, does it matter to God? Then it should matter to you. But we're called to be meek, Pastor John. Agreed. But meekness is not weakness. And so, again, I think it's important for us to walk in the fear of God and for us to minister and speak in the fear of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. I don't buy into the little Jesus, meek and mild. I don't see it in the Bible. I see Jesus overturning tables and throwing people out of the temple and boldly declaring truth that caused the religious to manifest to the point where they wanted to kill him. But even so, he didn't apologize or back down. And so, first and foremost, a pure gospel is Bible-based. Secondly, it's Christ-centered. I love that song, Jesus at the Center of It All. And I love that line, Jesus at the center of my life, Jesus at the center of our church. Philippians 2 and verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. A pure gospel is Christ-centered, not cause-centered. My calling as a pastor is to raise disciples, not activists. And so, again, it's important, like I said, that we're making disciples like Jesus commanded us to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, and which, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. From the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so Paul here declares, by the grace of God I am what I am. And we must understand, it's a gospel of grace. Grace that God poured out at the cross. A gospel that honors the life, death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, if the message doesn't focus on or glorify Christ, then it's not a pure gospel, no matter how entertaining, polished, or inspirational it sounds. This is a day for ministers with the anointing of God on their lives and the fire of God in their bones. You know, again, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9 declares this very thing. And it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding back, and I could not." I feel sorry for any pastor or leader that doesn't have that, the sense of divine calling, of divine unction and anointing on their lives, because most likely you're doing it in your own ability, and that's tough. Because, you know, the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Matthew 11 and verse 12, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." We're violent because we're focused on where we want to go and what we want to accomplish. We're not playing games. There is too much at stake. Priceless, eternal souls. Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." We better remember that eternity is Christ-centered. And again, my last verse I'm going to read today is Psalm chapter 2. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." God have mercy on the minister or the church that does not kiss the Son, that does not have a Christ-centered gospel, that does not honor Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a day for us to preach that old message, the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That means it's not, I'm okay, you're okay. It is, repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. The gospel declares that we are sinners. And how can people know they're sinners if we are afraid to call sin what it is? No. This is a day for us to preach and to lead and to love in the fear of God. Hallelujah. With a Bible-based and a Christ-centered message. Hallelujah. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here in UCB Ireland. God bless you.